Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Now, if you're looking for medical advice, whatever your health queries, questions, send those in to us. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number, because Dr. Nina Burns, who's a GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic, is with me in studio to answer those questions for you. Nina, how's things?
Hi, Andrea. How are you?
Good. Just first of all, I suppose some queries from listeners wondering about trying to access a GP when you move to a new area. Where do you start, or what can you do?
It's a really hard one. You know, we have been dealing with queries at that a lot, particularly Dublin 15, I suppose, Castleknock, where our practice is. For a long time, there were a lot of GPs not taking on, and you do have to often just contact them and see who's taking them on. For anyone in Dublin 15 or Monkstown, where my practices are, I'm actually really glad to say we're now able to take on new patients again, because we weren't for quite a long time. My GMS list was full, but we now have two other GMS lists. So if you're in my catchment area, which is Monkstown or Castleknock, you can email registration at generationhealth.ie, and we're accepting new patients. But I know it's not as easy for other people in other areas. And unfortunately, it is a matter of just kind of knocking doors and emailing people and seeing, are they taking them on? And a lot of practices will either be closed, or they'll be open, or they'll have a waiting list. If you're a medical card patient and you're trying to find a medical card practice, I think if you've been turned away by three practices and you have something from them, you can let the HSC know and they will assign you to a practice. Okay. So a lot of people don't know that that's an option. But look, it's a really hard one. I mean, we felt terrible for so many people saying we couldn't take patients on. So we're actually delighted now to be able to say we can.
You can, okay.
And we have stable staff. We had a lot of staff on maternity leave and stuff, but that's all seems to have settled down. So I don't know, can I knock on wood here somewhere in there? But yeah, because it's really horrible as a doctor. Like, you don't like turning people away. But on the other hand, you have to manage the patients that you have and be able to safely look after them. And it's a sort of a walk that we take every day. And, you know, so no one likes turning people away. We need more doctors. There's no way around it. We need more GPs on the ground is
okay,
what we need.
That's
you
the
know?
Solution. Yeah. Okay, 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. This listener is wondering, please ask Nina about the possibility of causes of chronic fatigue. I'm a 44-year-old man. I'm very active. I run 50 kilometres per week on average. That's down from 80 kilometres earlier in the year. I have a decent diet. I have a slight sweet tooth. Constantly exhausted, even when I wake up. I've had several bloods done recently, which have all come back quite clear.
So this is probably one of the most common things we see as GPs, is people feeling tired all the time. We call it TAT, T-A-T-T, tired all the time. And there are so many different possible causes. So you have to break it down to, is it a psychological fatigue? Is it a physical fatigue? Is there some disease there that is causing the fatigue? And so there's kind of a, you know, a process of elimination that we go through. Bloods are always one of the first places we go. So, you know, it sounds like you had good bloods done. It doesn't say whether this person is male or female.
They've come back to say they're a man, 44-year-old man.
Okay. It is worth going along having a chat with your doctor. We do a thing called a systems review, which is basically where we go through lots of different questions about your body, your health, and just trying to see, does that point us in any direction? The only thing that jumps out in this, because obviously there's so many questions I want to ask this person. So this person definitely needs to go have, I would suggest booking a 30-minute appointment. That's another thing we do suggest to people to do, is book a double consultation for these kind of things, because you've time to go through stuff. The sweet tooth worries me a little bit, because if you are eating a lot of kind of sugar, you're getting this insulin spike, and then your sugar levels drop, and then you feel tired, and then you feel tired, and you take more sugar, and you get an insulin spike, and your sugars drop, and it causes this vicious cycle of energy and fatigue. So, okay. You know, people who suffer from chronic fatigue, you most definitely should be avoiding lots of sweet foods, eating more slow-release carbohydrates, you know, lots of protein, lots of healthy fat. There's a lot of research into protein as an important part of nutrition.
So even though they say they have a slight sweet tooth and a decent diet, that's, you'd have a query around that if they were in for a consultation.
Well, I'd be, you know, when people come in to see me and I'm asking them, I'm going through their history, you know, I'll often say to someone, do you drink? And they don't get away with just a few. I literally drill it down to what drink they have, how many drinks. And when someone says to me the sweet tooth, I literally get them to talk through what they eat in a day.
Yeah, how
and
many
quite
bars?
Often you'll find it's a lot of carbohydrates in these diets, and a lot of too much carbohydrate can really wreak havoc with your sugar and your energy. Yeah.
Please ask Nina, is lupus checked in regular blood tests with your GP?
So in routine bloods, the answer would be no to that. What we do is, if you're having symptoms suggestive of something autoimmune, of which lupus is one, we can do a CRP, which is a general marker of inflammation. We can do a generalized autoimmune test. And then if that's positive, then the lab will run the more specific tests, which would include lupus. But it wouldn't be something you would check on routine bloods unless you had something again in the history taking and talking to them that points towards something like that.
Okay, listener says, I had about 4 months ago, I got a tetanus vaccine very high up in my shoulder. I now have a severe pain and tears since I got this 4 months ago. I have had an MRI, all clear, just wondering when it'll settle.
So I suppose when we give an injection into the muscle, it can pool in the muscle. So those injections go through your skin into the muscle. And sometimes when it pools there, everyone has probably experienced a sore arm for a couple of days after an injection. And that's just the what went into the muscle absorbing. Mm. Occasionally, some people, it does take longer to absorb, or it can cause a kind of a local area of inflammation that could then potentially become a more chronic area of inflammation. I did have actually somebody, I had a patient very recently who came in thinking it was a vaccine because they'd got a sore arm around the time that they got a vaccine, but actually it turned out to be fluid in their shoulder joint on an MRI. So I guess it's not always down to one thing. Now, this person said they've had a normal MRI, but I would go back and have a talk to your doctor. Going for physio, again, I know we talk a lot about physios here, but physios are a very important person in that kind of, you know, healthcare chain, and they can do work with you to check the muscles and do some exercises that help. But you know, the vaccine can't necessarily cause any long-term issues specifically in the arm. Certainly, it can brush off a nerve, it can cause inflammation. These things can take time to settle down, but they do settle down.
Okay. Yeah. What is the treatment for TMJ? My husband is suffering with it, asks this listener. What is that, first of all?
So TMJ is your temporomandibular joint. And I'm going to say straight there, that's an issue for a dentist. People often come to GPs with dental issues, but your TMJ joint is one very much that your dentist will look after. They can do x-rays specifically to look at that. So your TMJ is that joint when you open your mouth, yeah, and close it like that. And some people get clicky issues. Some people grind their teeth. So getting, mouth guards and stuff at night can help. But I won't pretend that it's an area that I'm an expert in, because it's very much in the realm of your dentist. So I would go have a chat with the dentist.
I'm 32. I'm female. Over the last 2 years, my left hip has started to give me some pain on and off. If I rotate my leg, I can hear it clicking quite loudly. I'm fairly active, not overweight. I'm wondering what it could be and what I should do.
Yes. So again, I'd start with the physio with that one. They will just assess your posture, your hip balance, your leg length, your gait, the way you walk, the kinds of shoes you're wearing. All of those things impact on your hips. The physio will be a good person to decide whether, you know, you actually need some kind of scan done. And they'd usually say, you know, some physios can actually refer you directly for scans, or they tell you to go to your doctor. But sometimes it's down to just an imbalance in the muscles and the strength and the way we sit or the way we walk or the way we move, and doing exercises to rebalance that can really help.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. This listener, Nina, says, over the last 2 years, I've noticed issues with my fingers. They swell in the heat, and in the cold, they're really itchy, red and purple most of the time. They've also become aggravated with scented lotions. My right hand also gets blisters beneath the skin quite regularly. It's really embarrassing. Other people notice it. They comment on how red my hands are. I'm wondering what it could be. I thought it was Raynaud's, but blisters apparently are not symptoms.
So that's interesting. So a lot of those symptoms are very typical of Raynaud's. And Raynaud's, there's Raynaud's disease and Raynaud's syndrome. So Raynaud's disease is actually an autoimmune condition along the lines of lupus, where you get inflammation in the blood vessels that leads to kind of narrowing of the blood vessels. Raynaud's syndrome is where you get spasm, particularly when it's cold. And there's so much spasm in the blood vessel, it almost temporarily cuts off the blood supply, and your hands can go, you know, kind of blue. And then as they come back, they tend to go intensely red, and it can be quite sore and itchy. The blisters aren't a part of that, but also what you are describing, those blisters are probably a thing called dyshidrotic eczema, where you get these like little tiny blisters that can be intensely itchy under the skin. And they can go side by side with the likes of Raynaud's, because there is a theory that maybe it's down to blood supply or irritation in the fingers as well. So we'll go along, have a chat with your doctor. They'll go through, do you have any other symptoms that suggest this could be a kind of a vasculitis, Raynaud's disease type thing, or is it a Raynaud's syndrome? We sometimes prescribe actually some of the older blood pressure tablets that open up blood vessels to help with that, particularly in the winter. Keeping your hands warm is really important. And actually, some steroid creams can help with that eczema that you get on your fingers. It can help quite a lot.
So
go back and have a chat with your doctor about it. So it may be more than one thing going on, I think, would be the answer there.
Listener says, my mum is visiting and has had a tummy bug since Saturday. Nausea and retching. She's 84, generally in good health. My doc came out, gave her Zofran, 8 milligrams on Saturday. They left me with a few tablets to give her for the nausea. They're now finished since yesterday. And although today she can now hold down fluid, she's still complaining of feeling quite sick and wondering what I should do.
So she's been sick how many days now?
Saturday, so we're 2 days, Saturday, Sunday.
2 days. So there's an awful lot of nausea and vomiting around. It went through my house a week ago. I mean, I actually took 2 days off work, which I haven't done in a very long time, but I was really quite sick. So it's really horrible. It tends to be, when it's the viral one, quite short lived. So it tends to be quite intense, but short lived. The important thing, I suppose, in someone mom's age is, you know, that she doesn't get dehydrated, and that also if she's on medication, say for blood pressure and stuff like that, that she's managing to take those. So lots of small sips of fluid. So because often if you're vomiting, if you drink a big cup, you're going to bring it straight back. But if you take a sip every couple of minutes, you might keep it down. A trick that they use in the hospitals for kids, and it can work quite well, is sucking on a lollipop to get some sugar. Obviously, if anyone has children, don't ever leave your child unattended with a lollipop. But it's just a little bit of sugar. So to get a little bit of energy without having to swallow something, you can buy, you know, glucose rehydration things and that as well. But keep an eye on mom. Older people and young children can get very dehydrated very quickly. And they, if they're vomiting a lot, particularly their potassium, magnesium, things like that can change. So if it's 48 hours and mom is managing to keep some fluids down and starting to feel a little bit better, that's probably a positive sign. But do make sure she gets some kind of sugar into her. But in someone mom's age, if she's not picking up, and certainly if she can't keep anything down 4 days in without taking something like Zofran, which is a very strong antiemetic, then it might be worth rechecking with the doctor.
Okay, yeah. And just finally, a listener says, I male, have a pulse rate of 57 BPM. Is it something to be concerned about? I'm in my mid-60s. I'm not athletic. I recently stopped smoking. Previous to that, it was 63 over 64. I'm aware smoking increases heart rate, and the reverse is true also.
Yes, I mean, a pulse of 54 beats per minute. I think most cardiologists would love if everyone had a pulse in around 60 or so. And there are studies to show that, you know, faster heart rates are more of a problem. It's not so much just what your heart rate is, it's how you feel. So if you have a slowish pulse, or your pulse is suddenly dropping, you're feeling dizzy and weak, obviously needs to be checked. Go to your doctor. They can do a baseline tracing of your heart to make sure that your baseline heart rhythm and rates look normal. And then they can do things like bloods. Thyroid can slow your heart. So it's probably nothing. But if you're worried, go talk to someone.
Dr. Nina Burns, GP at Generation Health Medical Clinic. Nina, thanks a million, as always, for joining us here on this Monday afternoon's Ask the GP. You can get more from Nina at their website. It's generationhealth.ie or on X at Dr. Nina Burns.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.